Scripture reading for this evening is from Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Beginning at verse 1. Let's hear the word of God. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish, as the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. As far God's infallible word to us this evening. The congregation The first three petitions of the Lord's Prayer all pertain to our duties toward God. To hallow His name, that His kingdom would come, and His will be done on earth as it is already in heaven. The next three petitions focus on our needs. And surprisingly, the praying for our daily bread comes before prayer for forgiveness of sins and for being delivered from evil. And that's the petition, the fourth petition that we wish to consider with you tonight about our daily bread. Matthew 6:11 we read, "Give us this day our daily bread." And in Luke 11:3 we read, "Give us day by day our daily bread." Well, we want to do that from the perspective of the chapter that we read, Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3 particularly, but looking at the context as well. So Deuteronomy 8 verse 3, where we read that God, the Lord, speaking, "And He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that He might make thee know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." I want to do that in conjunction with the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 50, which you can find in the back of your Psalter on page 86. Lord's Day 50, question 125. What is the fourth petition? And the answer, "Give us this day our daily bread." That is, "Be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing, and therefore that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in thee." Our theme is then praying for our daily bread. In the first place, we want to see our daily provision. Second, our daily service. And third, our daily trust. Daily provision then, in this prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." When we look at it from the perspective of Deuteronomy 8, we see that Israel is about to enter the promised land. 40 years it took for them to travel from Egypt to Canaan. But it was not God's fault that it took that long. It was their own sin. They could have obtained it much sooner had it not been for their rebellion, for their refusal to submit to God. Chapter 1 begins with the repetition of what they had to do. "The commandments, all the commandments which I command thee this day, shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware to your fathers." You see, the very reason that they were set free from Egypt was to bring them in that promised land, into Canaan. They had to go through the wilderness to be tested, to be tried, to be humbled, as it is with us today. We too are led out of Egypt. Every Sunday morning we read that. We hear it from the law. Separated from Egypt. This morning we witnessed the sign of separation. Baptism. Baptism does not bring us in Canaan as the people of Israel were not when they were through the Red Sea on the shore of Canaan. They were in the wilderness. And so we too are in the wilderness of this world, but meant to go to Canaan, set apart for that purpose. They went through the Red Sea. We are to go through the Red Sea of the blood of Jesus, of which the water of baptism is a sign and a seal, a token. How many years has it been since you were baptized? How many years have you heard that you were set apart to go through Canaan, to Canaan, to the heavenly Canaan? God cared for them all these 40 years. And he, as it were, says here in this passage and throughout the book of Deuteronomy, did you lack anything? Did you have any shortage of any good things? Did we, the congregation, lack anything? For a body, for a soul? God fed them manna from heaven. Every morning, children, remember that to gather manna, 40 years. It's getting to be close to 15,000 days. 15,000 times they picked up manna from the floor, from the sand, and made it into bread. Boys and girls, if you're about 10 years old, you have a little more than 3,500 days. 3,500 days for every 10 years. And here you are. This morning you had something to eat. But this morning also you had something to eat for your soul. Give us this day our daily bread. It's not only about the bread for the body, but also for our soul. Of course, we don't get bread falling from heaven as they did. And yet it comes from heaven, doesn't it? It comes from God. Your mom and dad may have a job and they earn money and they bring that to the store and they buy bread and so forth. But who gave them the health to work in the first place? Who gave them the job in the first place? Still bread from heaven. So the Lord, in a very supernatural way, gave the people of Israel bread from heaven. He gave them always, also in a very supernatural way, water from the rock. We read about it in this chapter. Bread and water. The two basic means of survival in this world. In 1 Corinthians 10, you can read about that. That they ate that spiritual bread and that they drank of that spiritual water from the rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. So we too have been followed by God. God leads us in our way, but he follows us. He follows us even tonight to speak to us once again. So we'd eat bread. Of course, we didn't get it in a very supernatural way as the Israelites had. As you read in verse 4, their raiment, their clothing did not wear out. Neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. In other words, children, if they were small, they had shoes, sandals. They did not wear out. Plus, they did grow with their feet. You'd think that they would be more dependent upon the Lord and more grateful for what he had given them. And yet, even though we did not get all these things in a supernatural way, yet we did get them in a very miraculous way, because it's amazing that the Lord is so good for us. In spite of our sins, that he still gives us all the food, all the drink, all the clothing and the shelter we need day by day. It's a testimony of the goodness of God. You see, the whole idea of this Deuteronomy 8, the word that God spoke to Israel, wasn't just about commandments, do this and do that, but it was also about his provision, about his encouragement. Same with prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. It's not only a command that we must pray. We must pray that prayer, but that he will supply it. He will provide. That's why the Lord's Prayer is preceded with what we read in Matthew 6, verse 8, pray not like the heathen, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. So when the Lord prompts us to pray for the things we really need, we already have them before we ask them. Our Father, which art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. So this is what the people of Israel, and this is what we too must remember. We are called to remember. You find that in this chapter. Thou shalt remember, verse 2, all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what's in thy heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or not. Remember. Isn't that the key word throughout the scriptures? Why is that? Well, we're so prone to forget. We take it for granted. Or worse, we often think we have a right to it, an entitlement. It's not just out there in the world. That spirit of entitlement is in us too. That's why it's out there in the world. Not only that we're entitled to it, but of course the root of that is that we think we deserve it. And it's exactly what the Lord warns his people against in verses 10 and on. He says, when you have eaten and are full, beware, verse 11, that thou forget not the Lord thy God. Lest, in verse 12, when thou hast eaten and are full, and so forth, and you have herds and flocks and gold and silver, that your heart be lifted up in pride. Israelites were just as prone to it as we are. We could say we are just as prone to it as the Israelites were. It's not just about them. It's about us. Because they were led through that great and terrible wilderness. Fiery serpents, scorpions, water out of the rock. God says, I fed you with manna. Your fathers didn't know about it. It was something entirely new. That's why it was called manna. What is it? People didn't know what it was. But it nourished them. To do thee good at thy latter end. But if then in verse 17, if you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. Well, if you do that, then you're in great danger to perish like the heathen. They will perish. For you to give that land to you. Verse 18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get the wealth. So even if it doesn't rain directly from heaven, even the power to obtain it, working for it, having a job, stocking our fridges and our whatever storage we may have for food. The people of those days would probably be astounded to see our pantries and our fridges with all the food. They said, how in the world can this be possible? You can live weeks on this. They had to live day by day. Remember the God who gives it. Look back consciously. Remember, the Lord says, what I've done for you. Look back. Look up. Question 125. What is the fourth petition? Give us this day our daily bread, that is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body. Wonderful. Be pleased. When we come to a God as a heavenly Father who is pleased to give us all that we need. Necessary. Notice that. What we need. Not necessarily what we want. And all things. Nothing lacking. Of course, particularly the bread, as I said before, it stands for everything we need. Represents everything. Food, clothing, shelter. Everything necessary for the body. To keep our body alive. Ultimately, of course, for our soul. For our body was created together with a soul to serve and to magnify God with every ounce of our being. So the bread is kind of a token. It's like a sign. It represents everything we need. Just like the water of baptism this morning is a sign. It's a token. The rainbow is a sign. It's a token of God's favor, of God's goodness, and of God's care for sinners. Incorrigible sinners. As we heard this morning. it's interesting to also think about the word provision and provide. It's actually two parts. Pro vide, before seen. Jehovah Jireh, in the mountain of the Lord it shall be seen, or it shall be provided. God's provision. It's everything that the Lord knows we need, and He has decreed it as such. He not only knows what we need, but He has it already lined up for us. Before seen, Genesis 22, the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. That's how the Lord revealed Himself to Abraham. When Isaac, his son, was to be sacrificed, but a lamb took its place. God has decreed it. He knows it. But then maybe you ask yourself, but why ask? Why still ask if it's already all set and it's going to happen anyway? But the answer is very plain. The Catechism says that we may thereby acknowledge Thee to be the only fountain of all good. You see, it's not just about us and our needs. It's about God and His provision. Who He is as the fountain of all good. The only fountain of all good. It's a wonderful thought. He's not only the only fountain of good, but the only fountain of all good. All things work together for good that are called according to God's purpose. Those that are called to love God and to live like Christ. It's about God. It's about His gracious provision as a heavenly Father. His good pleasure. His desire to give us what we need. To be ahead of us. So much ahead of us that He, even when He moves us to pray for it, it's already ready to be given. Of course, we're so prone to run away with the gift that we forget the giver. That's why the Lord wants us to have this daily dependence upon Him. It's His delight to give us all good things. Yes, it's really His delight to give us only good things. Even the things that we fear and dread, and the afflictions and the trials we go through, they are actually good things. God cannot give anything but good, because He's a fountain of it. That's a confession. An overflowing fountain of all good, Article 1, speaking about who God is. So it's not just bread. It's everything else we need as a family, as a church, as a school. Plymouth Christian, our seminary, our missionary endeavors, our outreaches. All of that the Lord has given us and provided us with that so that we may give further glory to God. Often we think, how shall we be able to support all that? How shall we be able to continue all that? Well, the Lord says, don't you think that I know what you need for the furthering of my kingdom? That my will be done on this earth? All of us. But not just what we need to live, but how we would live rightly. Not only that we would eat, but that we make the right use of that energy and that food that we receive. Not only day to day, but even forever through the Lord Jesus Christ. See, it's not only about what God gives, but who He is. He seeks us so that we would seek Him and pursue Him. We're so prone to take all these things for granted and think, well, He will give it us anyway, but He doesn't want to give us things. He wants to be there for us. So we may know Him and have fellowship with Him. It's about who He is. Or perhaps you could put it different and say, for what He says, living by His word. His word should be our food, like is in our text. that we would not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Ultimately, we don't just live by physical bread, but by spiritual bread. It's but a picture. Daily bread, if you have that in our hands, just like as the Lord's Supper. The real purpose and the real perspective is the living bread, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just about the manna. Jesus said to the Pharisees, I am that bread that came from heaven. John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. To live by the Word of God. That may be our nourishment, our food. Jesus says in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. So it's not just to live. But it's to live rightly. It brings us to a second point. It's for service. Give us this day our daily bread. It's not just a provision, a daily provision, but it's a provision for daily service. It's food and energy to be used in the right way. You know, eating the bread is not the goal of life. It's a means to a far greater goal. It's energy we need in order to do our work every day. So it's just something that the Lord cares for our physical needs, but He cares for our physical needs in order that we may benefit spiritually. That's why the Lord Jesus healed many people, but His main purpose was not to heal people from their sicknesses, but to save them from death and from sin. Physical needs are important, but our spiritual needs are far more important. It's not just about pleasing ourselves and having a good meal together, however wonderful and blessed that is, but it is the purpose is that it would activate and energize us to be of service and to serve God, to love God above all and our neighbor as ourselves. And we have to hallow God's name and be instrumental in the kingdom of God coming among us. And God's will be done in earth as it is in heaven. In order to do that, we must eat. As simple and plain as it is. To eat rightly, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. So eating and drinking can only be done to the glory of God if you do it with thankfulness and produce something in return. Food's not just there to pamper our body, but to make us fit for service. So we must pray. So we must eat. We must rest. We must exercise. We must sleep. We sometimes must even say no to certain activities and certain foods. Israel was reminded of this truth many times in painful ways because they were so forgetful, so selfish, so disobedient. The Lord repeated, you should read through the whole book of Deuteronomy how many times He repeats these very same phrases. Chapter 8, verse 1. All the commandments which I commanded thee to do this day shall ye observe to do that ye may live. Observe to do. The word observe means you have to look at it carefully. You have to pay attention to the details. This is the way God wants to be served, and no other way. You have to, as it were, look at it with a magnifying glass and say, this is how I have to live. And the more you look into the law, the more you see how impossible it is. But when you keep looking in that very same book, you see Christ too. And looking to Jesus, the bread of life, eating and drinking of Him, you shall be able to do these things. Observe. Means with careful attention to detail to do these things. Verse 2, remember to keep His commandments. The word keep is the same root word in the Hebrew as the word observe. So it's to pay great attention to the details, to search the scriptures. And when you do so, you will not only find law, but you'll find gospel too. Not only what God commands, but what He provides, what He gives. There's really nothing lacking. You see, that's the idea. So often we wonder, how shall we do this? But the Lord says, there's just not one commandment or one need in your life that I haven't already the provisions lined up for you. It's all there. There's no excuse for any one of us to say, I cannot do this. The Lord says, you cannot indeed, but look to my Son. I can't work. Well, eat. As you do in the physical realm, before you work, you eat. So you do spiritually. Before you do something, you must look to Christ. Eat of the heavenly bread. Partake of the Word. Let the Word dwell in your heart. It'll do its work by the power of the Spirit and His fatherly care. A triune God will give you everything you need. A text says, why is this manna given? Really? One purpose, that He make you know that man does not live by bread alone. You think, why would that manna be given? So that you may live. No, the manna was given for the very purpose that you might know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So every time we eat bread, we must be reminded of the fact that we cannot live by bread alone. We need more than that physical bread. To be humbled. To be proven or tested. So they would learn to know, and we too, what's in our heart. But not only what we would know that what's in our heart, but also that we may know who God is. Self-knowledge, God-knowledge, and then Christ-knowledge. Only see our sinful actions, but also our sinful hearts. But at the same time, God's goodness and patience, as they realized God had it with them, so we may realize that God has that same patience with us today. That's why He fed them and cared for them. That's even why He chastised them. Verse 5, thou shalt also consider in thy heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Chastised for good. Hebrews 12:6, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. Therefore we read in verse 6, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways and to fear Him. For that very reason, that God fed you, He nourished you, He gave you His law, He gave you His gospel. What else can you need? What more do you need? Sadly, we too often do what we read in James. We ask, receive not, because we ask amiss, that we may consume it upon our lusts. Receiving all these good things and consume it upon ourselves. Serve ourselves instead of serving others. Give us this day our daily bread. Even the word our and us, it's an indication that it's not just about me and myself and I. It's part of the family. Give us this day our daily bread. So the prayer begins, our Father, which art in heaven. Literally it says, our bread, sufficient for the day, give us this day. In other words, Lord, do not just give us enough to eat, but give us enough to serve Thee better. That's really what our prayer should all be about. That we may serve Thee this day. So in the morning, when we are devotions, we read the Word of God. Say, Lord, let what I read here today may be just enough to get me through the day. you may not always feel, in which way the Lord had particularly given you the help that you needed for the day in the portion you read that morning. But you don't know either what it would have been like without it. Just like as when you eat bread, real food, you don't necessarily know where it goes to the strengthening of your bones or to growing of your hair or to give you energy. You don't know where all the food goes. So it is with the Word of God. It goes and becomes part of you, part of your life, part of your defenses. It's part of putting hold on the whole armor of God. Focus is on the Lord God and His glory. You see, otherwise we may have everything and call ourselves blessed. But if you don't have God in it, if you do not have Himself in it, it's all vain. It's vanity. We do not have His blessing. That we may thereby acknowledge Thee to be the only fountain of all good, it says. And then it goes on to say, and that neither our care, nor industry, nor even Thy gifts can profit us without Thy blessing. Take good notice of what that says. It doesn't say that we shouldn't care. It doesn't say that we shouldn't be industrious or diligent. We should. But without this perspective and this focus, it is nothing. It is without profit. That means without gain or blessing or benefit. It's all vanity. That's why Solomon said all is vanity. Meaning, without God, it is vanity. But with God, it is a great blessing. Our care, planning, scheming, worrying, fussing about things, without being it in the right perspective, it becomes not only a curse, it's something that is useless, empty. Industry, hard work, diligence, sweat, toil. And then it says, even Thy gifts. Even our health, our strength, our jobs. Without the blessing of God. It's fruitless. Except the Lord built the house. Psalm 27. The labor in vain that built it. Except the Lord keep the city. The watchman waketh but in vain. Again, it doesn't really say don't labor. It doesn't say don't watch. But it's the perspective. The focus. The realization that it's the God of all the earth and the Lord our God. Who leads us through this life. Building our business, growing our family, studying at college or university or at school or even having vacation. Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Eating not only the bread of life for the body, but the bread of life for our soul. It's life-giving. And so the water of life is life-giving only in the partaking of it. And then the usefulness in the energy that we obtain from it. We must not lose sight of the purpose to which God has given us all these good things. Israel had to learn that. You see, Psalm 37 says, delight thyself in the Lord, and He will give thee the desires of thy heart. In other words, if we focus our sights on God, on delighting ourselves in Him, even when we do our private devotions, when we seek not to read just a book, but seek Him, come face to face with God, and seek to delight ourselves in Him, we will have our desires met. Our cravings will be satisfied. You see, the psalmist says, my heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. And it will keep on crying until we have it satisfied and fed and nourished with the bread of life and the water of life. And then our purposes in life will be met too. Perhaps that's one of the reasons that this petition comes before forgive us our sins and before deliver us from evil. It's not just a simple thing about eating bread. It's about receiving everything we need for the purpose to which God has created us, to serve Him and to serve others as unto the Lord. God is glorified when we are satisfied to serve and to trust in God. The more our sights are upon Him, the more God is glorified and pleased, and we too in return are pleased as well. Because it's the created purpose. We were created to delight ourselves in God. We were created to focus on other than self-pleasing. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give the desires of thy heart. It seems so simple and yet so elusive, isn't it? We know it. The more we please ourselves, the unhappier we become. And yet we keep going that way. And that's why it's so good that the Lord keeps coming back and says, remember, do not forget. You're not living by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God doth man live. That's real life. All the others are incidentals. We need it for the body, but we need it more yet for our deepest, innermost satisfaction and happiness and fulfillment that comes with serving God and trusting in Him. And we'll see that in our third point. So to pray for our daily bread, it's about daily provision, daily service, and daily trust. We have many needs. And the wonder of these things is that everything we need is provided for, body and soul. So they're not just that we may live, but live to the glory of God and for His pleasure. That's why He created us. For His pleasure. And the wonderful thing is, the more we seek that, the more we shall be pleased ourselves. That's what heaven will be all about. Sinless pleasure. God is the fountain and creator of all holy pleasure. And in our sinful world, that's impossible, it seems, but possible still with God. Maybe you're worried about the future, especially considering what's happening in our nation in the past week or weeks. And other things that may change more quickly than we can even imagine, because who could imagine only a few years ago that things would go this way with our nation? I was thinking this morning even about the rainbow, that the homosexual movement uses that symbol to promote its agenda. What an offense that must be of God to use God's covenant faithfulness sign to promote their evil, wicked agenda. It's a defiance of God. So we can be worried about that. Children baptized, raising them up into this kind of world. But God knows. The future is unknown to us, but it's known to God. He knew it from all eternity. He said that these things would happen. He wants us to be ready. And it's even through such a time that is enough to sustain you. I will provide. I have seen it before. God is able and willing to give whatever we need. Not necessarily what we want, but although He gives us so much more than we need. But He wants us to to ask Him and asking Him to trust Him. This prayer must not be just prayed without realizing, without thinking we get anything for it. We should pray this trusting, believing that He will do it. To give us a daily supply. He will not give us to get through tomorrow. He gives us what we need to get through today. This day. Our daily bread. Daily supply. We're not promised physical prosperity and health all the time. We've seen it in the life of Job. We've seen it in Christians around the world. They're being persecuted. They suffer immensely. It's not the health and wealth gospel. God can do that, but health and wealth is not necessarily a sign of God's favor at all. Unless indeed we're receiving it and using it as unto the Lord in His service. Sometimes the Lord will give us sickness, crosses. Those that follow the Lord Jesus, the great cross bearer, can't expect anything else but to follow His cross after them. Then they will find that He not only carries us, but our cross with us. He will provide, He says. We might not be delivered from certain afflictions or trials. He can do it, and sometimes He does. He answers such prayers. But quite often, maybe even more often, He gives us the grace to carry up, to carry through with it. To give us the grace to carry our burden. But He says, whatever you ask the Father in My name, He will give it you. I was thinking about that. In My Father's name, if you would ask, He will give it us. And of course, if you do it truly in our Father, our Heavenly Father's name, we will ask what's according to His will. He will always give it. Or He will give us something better. But He will always give us what we ask or something better. Now, that better might not necessarily be what we were asking for or desiring in the first place, but it will be better. It will be sent something that we perhaps should have asked for. He's able, He's ready to give us what we need. Without Him, nothing. He started from John 15. Without Me, Jesus says, you can do nothing. Means without abiding in Me, without coming to Me, you can do nothing. With Him, everything. I can do all things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens me, Paul says in Philippians 4. And He says it also here in that chapter, chapter 8, verses 7, 8 and 9. He says, I'm going to bring you to that good land. Brooks of water, fountains, springs, land of wheat, barley, vines, fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, honey. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. No lack of bread ever. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. That's the desire of the Lord our God, our Heavenly Father, that we would not lack anything if only we would eat the right thing in the right way and use it in the right way. So we're called to trust not only based upon God's past record, but on His promise today, on His command today. It's interesting when you look at how they entered into Canaan. The phrase, possess it. Go in and possess it. In chapter 8, verse 1, we read it. Go in to possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. 50 times you find that phrase in the book of Deuteronomy. Go in and possess the land. In chapter 5, verse 31, it says, in the land which I give them to possess it. God gives it to them, and yet they're called to possess it. They already own it, and yet they're called to own it. It's the the same idea with give us this day our daily bread. It's already theirs by promise. Give us this day our daily bread. It's the sovereignty of God. Lord, please give us this day our daily portion. And what do? When we talk about daily bread, we say amen and we wait sitting by the table, boys and girls? No. We go to the cupboard, the pantry, and we go get it. And we eat it. And we find that the pantry is empty, which probably doesn't happen too often. Then we go to the store and buy it. We're not waiting that the Lord would rain it from heaven like they did in the time of Israel. We have to work for it. We have to pray, we have to work. God's sovereignty and man's responsibility are not at all at odds. And even so, they're not at odds in a spiritual way. When we pray for our daily spiritual bread, we have to read the Bible. We're not going to just pray for our daily spiritual bread and keep the bread closed. We must cut it open. And eat it. And chew it. And swallow it. Digest it. Let me say, when God says, give us this day our daily bread and pray for that, God doesn't expect us then to just sit and wait. None of us would do that. And yet, there are so many of us who still spiritually just do that. You see, give us this day our daily bread. I already mentioned, it doesn't say give me this day my daily bread. It also doesn't say give us this day thy daily bread. God could have easily instructed us to do it that way. Give us this day thy daily bread. Thy provision, Lord. No, he says our daily bread. Just like he did, as we heard a few weeks ago, bring me of the fish which ye have now caught. God gave them the fish. So by grace, you see, it's already our bread. We have no right to this bread by nature, but by grace we do, because Jesus Christ earned that right. And he attributed that to us. He reckoned it to us, his righteousness, his perfect obedience, his sacrifice, all is attributed to our account, dear believer. When we believe the word of God, we surrender all our sins, trust him that he will cleanse us and provide us every day of our life by way of obedience, by way of service, by way of using the means. It's God's free and sovereign good pleasure to give it. He's not obliged to give it to anybody. But he promises to give it to those who seek. And by that very word of promise, God has obliged himself to himself. He's bound himself to his own word. Sovereignly bound himself to this word. In other words, when you seek him, you shall find him. When you eat this bread, you shall be nourished. You'll have life for your soul. Most of us are spiritually starving for the simple reason. I'm not just talking to unbelievers, but believers too. For the simple reason, we're not in that word as we ought to. We don't really believe it's sweeter than honey. We can spend too much of our time in all kinds of things, myself included. I'm not just talking to you. This is us. We should be humbled and convicted that this bread is not just physical bread. God says, I fed you with manna, which you didn't know. Many of us are fed with manna, we don't even know it. That he might make thee know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord does man live. That's why God gave them manna.
not just to stay in their bodies, but that they should learn to live by the word of God. And that we should learn to live by the word of God. How much time do we spend in a day sitting around a table and nourishing and cherishing and feeding and fattening our bodies? How little time do we spend nourishing and fattening our souls? Because we don't believe it. It's a chore. It's a gracious provision. God says, I've given you everything. He says to the people of Israel, as I led you through the wilderness, you didn't lack anything. When you go into the promised land, you will lack nothing. Gracious provision. But we must respond with humble service and humble trust. Day by day. Are we not worthy of it, indeed? We're not worthy of anything. Any good thing, rather. We're worthy of a lot, but not of good things. But He is. And that's why the Catechism ends, and therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in Thee. Withdraw our trust from all creatures. You know who that includes? Ourself. We put way too much stock in what we think. Our opinions, our feelings, our thoughts, our experiences, what so-and-so said, rather than what God says. Withdraw your trust from all creatures. It says, place it alone in Thee. That's what we do when we say, give us this day our daily bread. I do not trust anyone or anything but Thee and Thy word upon Thy word. Alone in Thee. You see, it honors God. It pleases God when we look away from everything and look alone to Him. God is honored. He's delighted. And we benefit. It's a win-win situation. You see, children, it's young people, it's like you come to your father and you need something. And you said, Dad, I actually need this or that and that. Can you help me? Well, if it's a need, your dad will help. I'm sure he will try his utmost. If he cannot do it by himself, he'll ask others to help. You might not always get what you want, although sometimes even that he might give you. So the Lord will give us all that we need to serve Him. Because it's not just about us. He delights in it. He is honored and glorified. What we need to serve Him better. Of course, we know the story of the Apostle Paul when he had a thorn in the flesh. It was not pleasant. It was very painful. We know why it was. It was because of his pride. He needed to be humble, just like Israel and just like we are. And he said, Lord, if the thorn in the flesh be removed, I could serve thee much better. I say it now in my own words, to paraphrase what he said. Three times he prayed that God would move that thorn in the flesh. And then the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. In other words, in your weakness. Or even in the weakness of Christ. Didn't Christ himself become weak to be strong? And he was nailed to the cross. You'd think he'd the weakest creature on earth. Well, he could have said one word and the whole world would have dissolved in flames. His strength was in his weakness. Most gladly, Paul says, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So he gloried in it. Because he got something better. Then a thorn removed. He got holiness. He got usefulness. So the power of Christ will be tasted by him. So sometimes then when we ask for health, he may give us illness instead. Instead of a companion, he may give us a time of loneliness. Think about Job. At the end of the book, and now certainly in glory, he looks back on that time and he will call it the blessed time. Instead of strength, he may get weakness. Instead of success, defeat. But it's all for good. For the glory of God. All things work together for good. For those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And the purpose is in the next verse. To be conformed to the image of the Son of God. Give us this day our daily bread. There is childlike trust. My Father knows best. He knows what I need. He has already laid it aside for me. I will have it. And I'll be using it in his service. That's the best life. Daily dependence upon a God who will supply beyond our wildest imaginations. Things we cannot even have thought about. Couldn't have even entered into our mind. God knows. You surrender all things. It will be well. Trust and obey. But if not, beware, we read. Beware, verse 11. Verse 14. Beware that your heart is not lifted up. And you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. Verse 19. It shall be if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day, you shall surely perish. So if you eat from these other things that cannot really nourish, you'll perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish because ye would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. You didn't want it. You prefer to eat and drink the dross and the dregs of this world rather than the wholesome food of the bread of life. But if you do eat this bread and you do reflect upon the Word of God every day in private, by yourself, as a family, in church, day by day, eat of this bread, you cannot perish. You'll be blessed. And if Israel had done it, they would have lived forever in Canaan. But they didn't. But if you do eat the bread of life, you're blessed. If you don't eat the bread of life, you're condemned already. Because you have not believed in the only begotten Son of God. John 15, verse 7. Jesus said, abide in me. Let my words abide in you. So you shall be my disciples and bear much fruit. Amen. Gracious God, we marvel at thy goodness and thy patience and thy wonderful supply, even in our daily bread and that which it signifies. For when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we're not only praying for that which nourishes the body, but more yet, for that which nourishes our soul, so that we may serve thee better, have more energy and zeal and desire to do that which pleases thee. Help us, Lord, to delight ourselves in thee, that so the desires of our heart may be met. Remember each one of us, Lord. Go with us. Help us to take this home and make more diligent use of the means that thou hast provided, especially thy word, that our souls would not be starving, but living, so that not only we ourselves would be blessed, but that we may be a blessing to others as well. That people may see that we have been with Jesus, for it comes through in our every action, our every word. our every thought, every affection. Keep us, Lord, and bless each one of us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.